Hello, strangers. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4. Before getting to the show proper, I'd like to make a shout-out to our new friends over at North by Northwest. You can find their podcast if you simply Google them, but I'll link them in the show notes. Through a series of Twitter replies, we found out we're both based in Atlanta and an actual play podcast. So, you know, like Scrooge McDuck and his Golden Tower, it was pure joy to binge listen to their episodes. Trust me, guys, they have an amazing show and they're doing a lot of great things, and I sincerely hope you give them a listen. It's inspiring for a relatively new show like this one to see such a great product being grown locally. So now that we're all inspired and we've shown some local love, let's tell some stories. Roll once, then twice to escape the starlight. But now let's fight, let's sail the ship tonight. Ray guns, laser swords, now I'll use words with syllables that poison the earth. Drink it up, smoke it up, boss battles be basic. I'm riding dirty at my enemies' faces. You can't contain this stagger when I'm rolling with leap and dagger.
We are taking a signal. We are the collection. We are the host, and we are the server. Some call us the others, but we simply power the continued existence of humanity. Do not attempt to change or disrupt this wavelength. All our meaning is destiny incarnate. Our powers are vast and stretch to the infinite. As far back as you can reach in time, you'll always find our influence. And why you? Well, that is an excellent question. But why you? Because one day you will be great. Perhaps you too can be as sacred and life-giving as the sun itself. We've been alive for a very long time. Some have called us gods, and others have called us demons. Myths, whispers, ghosts, inspirations. Our reasons to guide and nurture those with destinies our own. Part of the journey you must face. We call on to you to come to Jute, to stop Piercewringer and Herald Green from reaching the Sanctum of the Sun. We've heard the echoes of alternative futures, and then they succeed, the world as you know it may come crashing down. A secret to guide you, a morsel to whet your appetite if humanity's destruction is not enough to sway you into action. There is a device called the Narthax, something created long before the Ninth World, long before humans were born again. Close your eyes and you will see its exact location on the map of your mind. We built this device, and we protect the sanctum it leads to. It appears all over the world, and it also leads to places beyond imagination. It is a gate to some place only those with great destiny can go. Go now.
Name's Piercewringer, and this is Herald Green. We're here to bring some people back, sort of a search and rescue. It's my job to solve problems.
Oh, Gail's ladies, huh? Well, Gail's granddaughter. Gail's, grandson.
Yeah.
Tell you what, if it's for Gail, keep your money. I'll do it for free.
I'm a man of my
word. You're paying for this ale.
What's his relationship with Gail? I'm just gonna.
You scan. I'm not gonna make you roll for it. There's a point when he begs Gail to hide him.
So Gail knows it. Gotcha.
Looks like the town's got Tony's back. At least those who know.
How many people know?
Gail.
Gotcha.
And Kelly. Kelly gets the special rubs and creams for him.
A little dry rub for him.
A little dry rub.
Yeah.
Pierce goes back over to Kelly while these two are talking.
I buy him another drink.
Sits down with Kelly. This Varricoth.
Yeah.
When you fought it and ran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's what Kelly. That's what Tony's saying in the back. Yeah. Fucking beer.
When you fought it and ran, any weaknesses that you knew of? Thing. How did you get away? What happened? Tell me your experience.
I just ran as fast as I could as it ate my friend.
Sorry to hear
that. Its weakness is that it needs to eat. So it'll take whatever time it needs to eat.
Roxen.
Yeah. Alright. Pierce sits down, explains his plan to Kelly, and asks her to come along. Since Tony's going to do it for free, he's willing to pay her the 20 shin to come along if she's willing to.
She looks you dead in the eyes and says, I never want to see that again. So you would have to pay me a significant amount of money. 30 shin at least.
I'll do 25. And whatever we find there,
does she know Tony's going
you get
along?
Your first choice.
Wait, she knows Tony's going along.
Yeah, I've already explained. Tony, off record, whatever. The plan is Tony leads the Broxen out, and we leave it out in the open. We wound it and leave it out in the open, and we all hide, and we plan an ambush, and we're using Tony as muscle, Kelly as backup, and you and I to try to subdue and kill this thing. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's distracted eating the Broxen, we should be able to ambush it.
I mean, I don't think it's going to sit there and just continue eating as we're killing it.
No, but it would be distracted enough that we could probably knock out some critical damage to it.
Fair enough.
Kelly, DM, let's see, it's like
DM choice of whether or not you would let us take it down a difficulty.
I get you. From a DM perspective, I want to say that if you go going through with this plan, you're going to get a surprise round on it.
That'll work.
So, okay. What did Kelly get?
Yeah. And Kelly goes, look, I think the only thing I can see is that it hunts during the day. Night might be the easiest way. Maybe it sleeps at night. It might be... Maybe tonight's the best night to go.
If that's what you think, then I'll go along. You're the expert.
Team says hurry along progression.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. All right.
It's eyesight. I feel like it's especially susceptible to darkness, so it might be the best way to go about it.
Well, then let's do it. Let's get everything together.
So you're in, Kelly?
I'm in.
I go ahead and give her 5 shin.
Everybody drink an ale first.
Of her 25.
Everybody gets their free advantage
and
attack.
And buy everybody.
It's not ongoing.
Around.
It is just a free advantage attack.
Buy so everybody another beer.
Just for might checks.
Yeah, just for a might check. Kelly grabs a crossbow, a couple of short swords, straps them to her. These are they look like, there's weird looking kind of short swords. You've never seen them before.
Hmm.
Can you do that thing where you make Diego better before this?
How long does that last? That only lasts an hour, and that's a half a day trip. So
I mean, like when we get there.
Yeah, sure. I can do that when we get there, of course. Though it'll be a choice between my gazer or Diego. We'll see.
You can do both.
It would cost me an action on both, so I might not do it.
But if they last an hour, you can do it before, like as we're sitting out.
Guys, I have a way to get there faster.
How so?
Oh, yeah, this will be interesting.
She like weighs everybody out.
If she zaps away, I'm in love.
No. She
fuck you, Mary.
What about Mary?
She walks out and
something about Kelly.
She pulls out of her robe what looks like a toy cart. She throws it out and it looks like a skiff but with wheels.
Hmm.
She goes, here we go.
All right. Let's get that Broxen on. Let's all go.
It magically, or nano-y, it looks like it adjusts to the size of the party as you're getting in.
Hmm. This is
Dragon Ball Z, it's a capsule.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce is definitely noting this and like looking at it and kind of appraising it as they're in.
And
it.
As you get in, melting out from underneath, like from the bottom, starts a chair start melting out and forming and molding. And then in front, a steering column of sorts and a sail melts out on top.
Hmm. Onward.
This is quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, out here in the boonies, you find a few interesting things. And he's like, I'll fucking say, holy, I can't believe you had this. Is this how you, like, yes, this is how I transport a lot of my stuff. I don't let everyone see this because, of course, it's valuable. You never know who's looking. Tony's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he, like, shakes his arms, and large tentacles sprout instead of his arms.
Oh, that's the, well, that's the secret.
Okay.
Don't stare.
I'm not.
Are you staring?
No.
Oh, the tentacles tattooed?
No.
Are you staring?
Actually, and he starts like looking at the tentacles, like
very intrigued. I see you staring at my tentacle.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Well, they're fucking intriguing. That's why. And that's the end scene as the skiff just peels out, like a muscle car.
Like the skiff is going further away, and you still hear the audio.
Yeah.
Like, you look at my tentacles? No. You look at my tentacles? No.
You are on my tentacle now. What, your bear is really weird. Can I just say that? Your bear, really weird.
Leave it alone, Diego.
That thing is weird, and it's looking right at me.
It tips its hat.
And then Tony tips his hat with his tentacle. I like the cut of your gin.
Tentacle Tony.
Yeah.
Tentacle Tony.
There's a, it's going to take,
up, TT?
Where it did take half a day, you guys arrive in roughly an hour, which you have some conversation, getting to know each other.
Took the day about 3 minutes.
Kelly and Tony are, at this point, old friends, and they're telling some stories of how they would go occasionally raid some local temples and things like that for funsies and for loot.
I'll tell them the location of the, that old thing if they ever wanted to take a look around, that old warehouse with swords and the...
Man, that's really far away. How'd you get there? And you say you're from Baytown?
Yeah.
Kelly's like, oh, come on, Tony. I have this thing.
We've only been gone about 3 days.
And this guy over here is a nano. She looks over.
I don't have a hat, but I tip my non-existent hat.
Mm-hmm. She waves, and there's a device in her hand, and it has all kinds of readouts and stuff. She goes,
scan.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm scanning.
It's a scan device.
What level is she?
She's not as tough as Tony. She's a level 3.
She's equal to us.
Now, these aren't tiers. These are everything else has just like character levels. So, but as these guys go, they're pretty tough. They're okay. You guys get roughly to where you need to go. At this point, Kelly goes, stop, right here. And then she like, does a cool handbrake thing that, like, the skiff slides.
Like a glove.
Tony whips the broxen out of the back of the skiff, and the skiff...
I've seen him use his tentacles as whips. He's like...
Yeah, the muscle... That happens. Get your ass out there, fat son of a bitch. And it goes...
That's not a regular...
And it starts walking out in the middle. Fucking right. Do this for Gale. Yeah, I'm a fucking moron. That's what I am. A fucking moron. Walking out right here in the middle of the night at the... Can't see a damn thing with this damn Brox in front of me. I think it farted.
All right, Tony. Come on.
We need to... Kith. Oh, here, Barakith. Here, Bear. Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Is that how you call it, Kelly? Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Ga-ga! I got a big old tasty Broxen for ya. He's whipping his tentacles around. He's looking at you guys going,
all right, Tony, come on. Wound the Broxen. Let's get over here in these bushes and hide and see if we can get this.
Now we got a problem. I have an emotional attachment to Betty.
Betty is bait. We need to do this.
Well, you guys give me a fucking moment, all right? And he looks over at Betty. He's like,
"That's my Broxson."
You're always a good Broxson, Betty. Anyways, and he just like jabs, like he jabs.
Anyway,
like right at one of the Broxson's legs, in the meat of its legs, he jabs his tentacle straight through. The leg explodes out. It's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Betty. That had to be done. All right, I'm out of here." And he like takes a tentacle out and he starts walking to you guys.
He jumps in a bush. And it's like the bush is still, but there's like the ends of the tentacles just like flapping around out.
So are you guys hiding at this point?
Yes. Yeah, we're all hiding kind of in some.
Give me just a your hide check. This is going to be a stealth check.
5, 4.
Oh, let me roll for Tony. And let me roll for Kelly. All right. I know those numbers. Well, you hear a chittering, a chattering. This is about 15 minutes later. So you guys are hiding in a bush. And yes, the tentacles are kind of waving in the bush. Like, I can't help it, okay? The tentacles sometimes got a mind. They're really just, I'm trying to bring them down. I'm just trying. I'm just worried about Betty.
Calm your arms.
I'm trying to hold my tentacles down, all right?
Calm your tentacles.
I'm calming my tentacles. Don't tell me what to do with my tentacles. I'm something. Getting really upset. I'm sorry.
I hear something.
Listen, Pierce, I'm sorry.
Listen.
In moments where I'm frightened, I can't help but keep talking. I just can't help it. And you hear a chitinous roar. This thing is big. It is huge. And it comes out of the swamp with mud and water and the darkness, like the moon gleaming off of it. And it runs straight into the Broxson with its maw. And it gulps it down. In one gulp.
Hmm.
When you see the Broxson going through its...
This is the size of an actual cow, isn't it?
Pictured that going a lot differently in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the size of a cow. But now it's in its neck. The cow's in its neck. And you can see the cow still kind of like...
Now it's time to go.
Moving. And it looks like it's still gulping it down. And it flashes a look in your direction, and you go, "Oh fuck! Oh no! Oh god! I think now's the time, guys. Now's the time. Now's the fucking time."
Now.
Now, wait, was that what we were? Did we say now, and that's when we go, or was it now and then go? Was it 3, 2?
Attack it now.
Now. I think he means now, like now. Now we stop talking, we attack it now, right?
Yes.
That's what he means.
Now.
All right, someone throw the bear out there.
And I'm...
Bear goes first, right?
Bear goes with me.
I'm pulling out my revolvers, and I'm just going to try and take... Well, I guess whoever's turn it is.
Loud noises might scare it! Tony jumps out of the bush, tentacles are flailing. Kelly aims a crossbow like a sniper. Harold, what are you doing?
Well... So, let me see the picture of this thing. Does it have legs?
Oh, it has 6 legs.
6 legs, oh.
In any given moment, any of the legs are going to come up and kind of be its arms as well. It also has a thorax and some wild thing, like spikes and tentacles coming out of its face.
Well, I want to see about maybe... Oh, God. One of the front limbs that it stands on with its balance.
Okay.
I'm going to try to shoot it, onslaught it. At the joint, connecting it to its thorax.
Okay.
And I'm calling this.
Okay. It'll be an intimidating roll. Beat an 18.
18, okay. And I also get it taken off for my tier 3 weapon skill, so it takes down to a 15.
Yes.
Okay. And I'll also expend effort for that to take it down one more. So, to a 12. 16.
All right. And this is a physical attack?
Mm-hmm.
And...
For 4.
4? It doesn't look like it's the chitinous armor. Ew. It doesn't seem like it does much.
Worried about that.
Yeah.
God damn it. All right. And then Diego.
Yep.
We'll take a shot at it as well.
Okay. Diego's at a 15. That's speed of 15.
Nope.
All right. Would you like to do something, Pierce?
Yeah. I have this matter disruption detonation.
Okay.
And I want to throw it at the main body of this thing.
I love it. What does it do?
It bursts in radius of 5 feet, releasing nanites that rearrange matter in random ways.
Holy shit.
Inflicts damage equal to the cipher's level, which is 5 damage. 50% of these are massive detonations and explode in short radius rather than immediate. So it kind of is like a scatter bomb effect.
It's a scatter bomb of matter, like
rearranging matter in random ways.
Okay.
So it may be like move
I will
a leg
do,
or...
in my mind, I'll do a random thing if this hits. Or is it just hit? You burn it and it hits?
I burn it and it hits.
All right. It doesn't do much damage because of armor-ish, unless that says it negates armor, but I think it's just a physical attack.
It's just a physical attack. It doesn't say it negates armor.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did hurt it a little. Not by much.
Was this an explosion?
A bunch of explosions in a 5-foot radius.
Did it crack its shitness at all?
It looks like its armor is still intact. It rearranges itself. Now, instead of 6 legs, it has 2 legs and 2 arms. It still has but it has what looks like a scorpion tail coming out now. And it's still just as big with a giant maw. Hmm. And the 2 arms are like 2 spikes, poison dripping out of it.
Is it?
And it looks at you like...
Did it do any damage?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is this for?
It's going to expend it, and I'm scanning the creature to find as much as I can about it.
All right.
And I won't give any roll. Anything?
No, expending an XP costs a lot. You know, this is a 5th level creature, so doing anything with it is going to be a 15 to beat it. You know that it can resist poison or diseases. You know that when it attacks, it's going to attack about 6 points of damage. It has 4 points of armor. You know that if it does attack you, you're going to have to try to subdue you with its poison. Its poison's not a... It's like a subdue poison. It makes you immobile. So that way it can feed the blood out of you.
Fuck!
But here's what I'm going to do for you since you expended the XP. You have found a chink in its armor, making the armor instead of 4, it is now 3. Now instead of a challenging task to beat it, it still has the same amount of hit points it did, but now it is only difficult instead of challenging to do any rolls against it.
And he relays that to me.
Everyone.
Yeah. Tony looks at it like, I can't believe I'm doing this!
If you can attack its mental capacity, do it!
Tony doesn't have that kind of... Tony gets up on the back of it and starts climbing the back of it. He's like, you fucking mother! And then he tries to jab its... His tentacle into the side of the throat. He does a little bit of damage to it.
This is like the Luke Cage.
And then
arms.
Kelly shoots a crossbow that is electrically charged, and it goes off into the distance, illuminating everything in its path. She's like, damn it! And she's loading a crossbow up. It is now... that was a surprise round, so now let's roll for initiative. So everybody just roll a d20.
17.
15.
It wanted it more than you guys. It just did. It's going to do a couple things. First, it's going to attempt to throw Tony off its back. It does not like Tony on its back. It's going to attempt to throw it off its back. Yeah. And it doesn't. Tony rides it like a
prize Broxen.
Yeah. Knowing it can't throw Tony now, it goes for the closest thing it possibly can. Who's closer?
I rolled a 17.
And what did you roll?
15.
So you both won it. You both had a high roll, but you're just that much closer to it. Just that much closer.
Yeah, I am.
Well, you rolled the 15.
Yeah.
I thought this was
you jumped out of the bush a little too much. This is just it's what it wants to do. Oh, I'm sorry. You roll. It's going to make a swipe, a might check.
Oh, and we drank that ale, so we got two time might check.
So, roll two beat D20s. A 12.
Where's my other D20?
That's right. So, beat a 12. You beat a 12?
I rolled a 1 and a 3.
All right.
I'll take the
you're
3.
You're going to take 6 points of might damage, and you're going to roll another speed check to see if you're disabled.
13.
13 beats it, because he's now at a difficulty 12. Just beat the poison, and you can feel it interacting with your body like this would make you fall unconscious.
So this thing's at a 12 now. Nice.
And let's see. Yeah, it's going to get 2 attacks per round, basically, so that's it for it.
Okay.
So you all rolled right. Higher, so you go.
So Pierce now has his revolvers out. He's aiming down at the weak point that Harold mentioned, yelled out to everybody, and fires off, I guess, what, a round each? Or do I need to roll a D6 to see how many rounds I can get off? Because I have 6 rounds, 3 shots in each thing.
Well, we agree that this is just a, if you want to shoot multiple people, then it's then that's more steps to advantage. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just one shot, and it's a two-handed weapon or two-handed gun. It's like points.
4 points damage.
4 points of damage.
Okay.
So just one shot.
Yeah, just
points.
One
now,
shot.
Now, you could use... Now, Bash is a physical attack. You have to get close to it to do that.
I'm not that close, and I'm not going to try to get that close.
All right. Then try to beat a 12.
How would I use... Actually...
Or you can try to
have
up
thrust,
the...
which is a range. No, that's... I don't know. Thrust is not a range. It's close. All right, never mind. No, I'm shooting it.
Okay. Beat a 12.
18.
18. So it was 4 points of damage. You know that it's armor, so it's going to take 1 point of damage. Good job.
Excellent.
Harold Green.
I'm going to attack its mind that bypasses armor.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Like a motherfucker. And
beat a 12, but I guess you're using this esoteric and you're doing all kinds of stuff, so is that really a 9 for you at this point?
Yep.
Okay. Beat a 9.
Thib.
Its mind is alien. Its mind is insectoid. It's a little weird and it gives you a bit of a headache to try to attack it. Want to roll for your bear? I mean, you can't really... No, you can up the step. You can say instead of if you think of something fun that he can do instead of just like trying to attack, because you know his attacks will not do any damage.
No, not at all. No, he is... No, I can't think of anything that the bear would be good for at this point. So
he... Go for the eyes, Boo! Go so... for the eyes! Tony yells.
I still wouldn't do any damage. He's going to hold his action.
Okay. Tony is going to go, well, if no one else goes for the eyes, I will. And he's going to go into increase the difficulty, but he's going to attempt to blind this thing and shove a tentacle in this guy's eye. Critical failure, meaning that Tony gets thrust off, and he's going to take some damage. So you guys don't know how much that damage is going to be.
Damn it, Tony.
And goes, ugh.
You're all right, TT.
Harold! Harold! Am I dead yet?
Remember, you drank the ale.
Was that a might check for him?
That's what remember, you drank the ale.
Because he gets 2. He drank the ale.
2. I'm going to say as a DM, just that happens.
Okay.
He throws off. Kelly loads up another crossbow. And she was going to go for the eyes as well. She does. She hits. It does a little bit of damage. And now, this guy is one more step down and blind.
We keep going. It's just going to be a meat shield at that point.
It's flailing. And now, are we at this point, we're at the top of the round, and he wants it, so he's going to go for TT. TT gets 2 rolls and beats it. So this thing tries a jab, one of its getting used to its new body. So it tries to jab one of its thorny arms, and it gets just hits grass as TT rolls out of the way. Then he's going to look over at Pierce, the barricade, and it looks at you like your dinner. And it takes its scorpion tail that it now has, and it's getting used to how it works, and swipes at you. So at this point, beat a 9.
Speed?
This is going to be... No, might at first.
Okay.
You've already used your ale like advantage. That's like a one-time shot until you drink ale again.
Actually, did I? Did I do a double might?
No, you haven't done it yet. So yeah, you get a double might.
Okay, I'm definitely going to use that.
Well, roll, see if you beat it first.
Yeah, well, no, that's the might, yeah.
11.
All right, so it jabs where the spot you were as you dexterously move out of the way.
Yeah.
And it rages.
I kind of tumble and roll.
Mm-hmm. Pierce.
Okay. I now... What do I want to do? So Pierce is looking at that tail. And... He wants to try to shoot the dangerous end off of that tail.
Just the tip?
I like it.
Just the tip.
Is that what you scream as you shoot?
Just the tip!
That'll be a difficulty 12.
Difficulty 12. All right, I want to spend an effort.
Okay, so that'll be a speed. Because you're shooting.
All right, so that'll cost me 2. That'll bring it down to 9.
Okay.
All right, so then I'll spend a second one. And that brings it down to 6.
Okay.
So he's taking aim. 9.
All right. You shoot the tip off the stinger, and you see some of the venom that it was going to try to pump into you guys to disable you. That seems like it's pumping out, and it's just reaching in pain.
Spraying everywhere.
Arterial spray.
I want to roll for my gazer.
Go for it. What does the gazer do?
I want the gazer. Pierce like looks over at the gazer. He says, shoot the weak point. The same one that he mentioned out where that chink
roll
in
for your gazer.
Is.
Wait, isn't the tail open now? If you shot it off, is there like a little open...
It's spraying like blood.
Yeah, I'm still trying to focus on the chink in the armor.
But I'm just saying, if it's spraying, then there's no armor. That's just meat in the tail.
I'll say if you want, it would be for your gazer, it's going to be, what, a 9? If you want to try to get bypass the armor at this point, it's going to be a 12.
No, I just want to shoot at the chink in the armor. I don't want to try to shoot at that tail piece.
Shoot at the chink. Doesn't sound good.
6.
The eye stalk opens up, something you've never seen, and a red orb starts... And it goes wide right, but it cuts a tree in half as a tree falls.
Jesus,
that's new.
And it looks at you and it winks.
Yeah, tell me this can do that.
Steam.
We
should
have opened with that.
Steam starts rolling off of it. It kind of like. All right.
So now this is a step below, so it's a 6.
No. This is still a 9. It's just the poison part of it won't be happening anymore. So it's not any more difficult. It's not any less. But you don't have to make a speed check anymore if it hurts. It tries to hurt you.
Gotcha. All right, so it's a 6 for me, with my stepping down lower with my All right, so I'm gonna raise it up a level to call a shot to scramble its brain a little bit. I'm still gonna mind attack it.
Like confuse it.
Disable it.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Maybe lower it another step.
Okay.
So. Yeah, just roll. Gotta get a 9 now. It's the same fucking 7! Fuck this dice. Retiring this dice.
What's your bear doing? Nothing? Holding its action still?
Bear's gonna go for the, shoot a buzzer at the tail. Try to go for that meat to bypass the armor.
12. Meet a 12.
14.
Alright.
3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. Unfettered.
High five the bear.
Bear's looking at you. Does like a little, its own little bear wink.
Bop. Beep, beep, beep. And for motion, we'll back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Try to back up out of range of this thing.
TT gets up. It's like, "Mew, son of a bitch." Hey, Betty. Yeah, hurting me and my friends.
Almost took one.
Hope you don't mind me calling you friends. I feel like we're friends now.
It's all right, TT.
This is for Betty! And he tries to climb up the back again to do his tentacle, like, through the thorax or through the whatever, and doesn't work out. He hits nothing. He's just hitting armor chink.
It's like trying to climb a greased-up jungle gym.
Now, Kelly comes out. She pulls out this looks like a hand grenade, like an old-school hand grenade. Pulls the pin and says, TT, watch out! TT still has an action move he can make. Mm-hmm. And he scrambles out of the way as she throws this bomb. It explodes and freezes.
Varakith
in place. You now have a free action to do as you will before it can do anything. It's like, you can see it, like the ice is already starting to melt. Mm-hmm. It's starting to like shake. It's starting to like, pieces of it are starting to click off. You have a free action.
Awesome. I'm going to roll to shoot it.
Shoot it? Break the ice? Guess what?
Buy it a drink.
It's not moving. So, do your damage. Actually, roll a d20 to see if you get above a 17. Because remember, a 17, 18, 19, 20 adds more damage to your roll. You haven't already doing that.
Four.
That's nothing. How much damage is that?
My shot?
Yeah.
Four.
Okay. He takes the full four of your damage.
And I want my gazer to try to take another shot again.
Okay, let's get you going.
I'm going to do the mind thing again.
Okay. You don't have to roll, but roll for 14. That's fine. So, how much damage does it take?
Oh, that's two.
Two? Okay.
But I was trying to do the, at least make it.
It is now a standard action to do anything against this guy, which is beating a six. It is confused. It is frightened. It is encased in ice. This kind of thing has never happened to it before. Gazer. You would like your gazer to do something fun. Roll me a d20 and let's see how fun this will get.
14.
Roll me one more luck check, because in my mind I have a bit of a table.
Okay.
And beat a 10 for something anime kind of super fun to happen.
9.
So here's what happens. Some flaps come out, like almost like Mickey Mouse ears on the back, and they look like radar sensors, like, and the ears come back down. And it goes, the eye stalk comes out again, and it goes, but it's a thin laser beam that burns into the thickness of the ice.
Hmm.
And it shatters the ice. We are back at the top of the round.
What about the creature?
It takes some damage.
Okay.
Like the full Monty. It's not looking hot. With the ice breaking off, one of its legs is broken off. And so now it's on three, like on all threes. And it's hissing and looking around. And for whatever reason, I mean, it's really, really upset with you. Because it's like you're in its mind. That's weird. So, Harold, beat a six.
19.
Tell me how you do a little bit of damage to this guy.
Well,
describe what it does. Like, it scrambles up to you. It tries to take a swipe with its...
I dodge out of the way, and as I'm going, I look at one of the legs that's broken off, and I do a quick little... a little onslaught shot inside of that to do, a little bit of damage.
Okay.
Now she says, like...
Just a little bit. It's just you're going to do a little bit bypassing some armor, but you're going to do a little bit of damage. And it is bleeding. It is... writhing on, like, just writhing in agony. And with its last bit of hope, it actually goes out to Pierce, and it does one more swipe. Beat a six.
13.
You beat it. At this point, starting to limp away. Tell me how you kill it.
So Pierce,
four-person team.
Pierce is like,
everyone, Tony. Now, this is the part of the movie where everyone is now surrounding it.
Tony, don't let that thing get away. Wrap it up.
Don't you fucking worry. And Tony takes one of its tentacles and jabs it between one arm and impales it into the ground. So it pins it down.
So we...
Kelly put a bolt in its side.
Kelly shoots a regular old crossbow and it pins it into the
ground. For the sake of just to see, try to read its mind, see if it's is any intelligence in this thing whatsoever.
There's intelligence, but it's like an arachnid type of intelligence. It knows like hunting cycles gotcha. And things like that. Nothing so, that's of use.
Just, I would just hate to think that it was like this touch. He's like, hey,
how about this?
Nope.
Okay.
Never mind. Pierce is running with those two hammer fists.
Okay.
Up to its head, like up its back, to like smash its head.
It smashes and just green, yellowy goo comes out. You smash its brains in, it falls lifeless and dead. You have now killed the Varrakith.
Huzzah.
Whew. But it's dead now, Kelly.
Holy shit, it's dead! Oh my god. TT's like, that's what I'm fucking talking about! Hell yeah! He's doing like a little hillbilly dance.
Hold on. You said it swallowed the Broxen in one gulp. That's Tony. Tony, you want your Broxen back?
Hell no, man. Hell no. Hey, I want to get as far. What can we just like burn this thing?
You see, he's like here.
No, the matter disruptor actually like it's changed a lot
it's
of its.
More joke. More joke. Yeah.
You are now standing around the husk of a very dead.
Search for ciphers.
All right. You guys roll me. Both of you roll me. Like, this is like digging through kind of the body and scanning and all that stuff. Just roll me a basic check of, this would be intelligence. It was a fifth level character. So that'll be a 15 if you don't do anything. You can break it down to a difficulty of 4, making it a 12.
If running a constant scan help at all?
Yeah, you know what? Running a constant scan will make it a demanding task of a 9.
19.
You don't have to roll at this point if you don't want to, but you can. Case roll 20.
2.
Okay. You're like, I don't know. It's just fucking gross. TT's like, man, I don't know why his... And Harold, are you like just looking through the body now?
Yeah, lifted up scales, pulling.
There's one thing you pull out, and this, it looks like a plate with all kinds of sensors, and it's a orb that glows all different kinds of colors, and it seems to be speaking in a forgotten language.
Linguist?
All right. Beat another challenging roll.
Even with the is that with the linguist skill taken down or is that applied?
Beat a 12.
It doesn't happen to be the language that I learned, that Pierce learned.
Did we hit? Oh, did we?
The last round.
That's one thing.
Remember, because it's permanent.
Oh, you learned a language the last round?
Not last round. Last game.
Oh, last game. You learned a language from the.
Obelisk.
From the obelisk. I like it. Let's do this. And actually, for doing that, I'm going to reward you with an XP.
Did we get an XP for killing the creature?
XP for killing a creature. There you go. Harold looks at it like, this is, I don't understand it, or whatever you want to do with it, Harold. But he's holding...
It's all gibberish!
You hear it. And it's... Protect the vortex. Protect the vortex. Protect the sacred. Protect all those who worship the sun.
Harold, this is talking about the vortex and the sacred suns, about protecting them.
Protecting them?
That's what it's saying. And it says that they're coming.
Oh, by the way, a god's out to kill you.
What? Why are you just telling me this now?
I thought I mentioned it over drinks one night, and you haven't brought it up since. But remember that? Remember the chief about 6, 7 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He recognized your name and
people angry. Apparently there's some deity or something, I don't know, that's angry with you. I thought it was just gibberish.
Thanks for telling me that now, buddy.
Like I said, I thought I told you earlier.
All right. Well, okay. So they're coming. I take the...
Probably for you.
Pierce snatches the tablet from Harold and inspects it for...
Yeah, it's like a circular tablet at this point. It's almost like a like iPad of a...
It's an eye round.
It's a round eye.
Yeah, this is an artifact, not necessarily an actual cipher.
Okay.
So that's why you get an XP for finding it, because you get an XP for finding an artifact. If you'd like to know, right now, it's just a, from your understanding, it's like a, it's a one-way communication device, and it is also attuned to a creature. It can control a creature and do its bidding for, eventually it would break. There's a, when you set it on a creature, it's every year. Basically, you roll a d20. May break and may not.
But it's still functioning now.
Still functioning.
Okay.
You can attune it to not a person, but a creature. Animal.
So Pierce isn't going to get controlled now.
But I don't know where... Pierce can't tell where this is coming from or...
It's a machine, isn't it?
Like, what's controlling it? It's one-way communication. So Pierce takes it and kind of shows it to the gazer. And, gazer, take a look and see if you can find where this signal is coming from.
The gazer scans, and there you see, like, a line, like a flash of line, that like it's scanning it, and it's scanning it, and it's scanning it. And then it does, a horizontal path, and then a vertical path. And then it... And then it points, the gazer points itself out and does a holographic image of almost like the signal waves. And the signal wave is going right at the area of the Norax.
How far away is it?
And then another signal from there. That's from where you guys are standing. This is probably 100 feet away to the Norax. Another signal you can see, and it goes all the way up, shoots up into the sky, straight up.
Well, that's interesting. Was that the area that you were talking about earlier, Harold?
That's the place.
We need to get over there and see what's going on.
Yeah, so either I zap myself over there.
I walk.
There is a...
Pierce is walking over
around
there.
That area. There is a crackling of energy, but otherwise nothing else is going
this
on.
This is different, though. This energy wasn't there before.
No, but it's definitely... To put it all together, you're a pretty smart guy, and you guys have been doing this a minute, so I'm not going to let you... I'm going to make you roll for it. What you're piecing together is like... It's like this is... The crackling means it's probably close to the Norax popping in.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. There's no real news other than we're about 5-ish more episodes away from the ending of the whole Numenera experience and moving into D&D. I really love Numenera and kind of hoping that there's a call from the fan base to go back to it someday. But until then, we're definitely going to be moving into D&D land. So stay tuned to our Twitter and Facebook feeds to see kind of the news and notes around that, but also I'm starting to release some pictures of set pieces I'm making for the show. I hope you have fun looking at that. Outside of that, I'm hoping to get some kind of portrait or art piece made of Diego, that lovable death-dealing fuzzy bear that Harold Green holds so dear. So here's hoping for that. I hope you have a good night. Goodbye.